Chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, and we'll read down to verse 8. Paul writing Timothy here, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Pray God would bless the reading of His Word. You know, at first appearance, this divine exhortation might surprise or confuse many. The more I thought about it, though I've read through this book countless times over the last 30 years, it did come to my mind as I read it. It didn't surprise me or confuse me, but it was amazing when I thought about it just for a minute. For Timothy had learned much about Christ and the things of God in his journeys with the Apostle Paul. Timothy was no novice to the faith. Timothy walked in the shadow of probably the greatest man next to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine the meetings they had at the campfires as they traveled around the countryside preaching the gospel? Now Timothy, I'm sure, would gather around the feet of Paul and say, "Paul, tell me some more things about Christ. Teach me more of that mystery of the gospel that he shared with you." And I'm sure Paul gladly spent those campfire nights speaking much of Christ. What a teacher to have, the Apostle Paul. Paul had himself taken Timothy under his wing and personally instructed him over the past years in the truths of God. And as a father instructs his own son, did not Paul instruct Timothy, even claiming him to be his son, his own son in the faith? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, he claimed Timothy was his own son in the faith. And so Timothy's no novice. Timothy's heard things probably that we would be amazed and astonished at. And yet Timothy is merely a reminder of how often even the most instructed believers are in great need of stirring up those gifts and graces of God which are in us. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," verse 5, "wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." This encouragement sounds almost as though he's speaking to a novice, but he's not. He's speaking to Timothy. If Timothy sat many years at the feet of the great Apostle Paul and heard wonderful instructions and is in need of being reminded of stirring up the gifts of God, dearly beloved, how much more we today, even though we spiritually sit at the feet of Christ. I'm amazed at the human heart and humbled by my own heart, how quickly I lose those first impressions of God's Word upon my heart. And when I do pray and God blesses me, how quickly I find myself neglecting prayer not many days afterwards. Or when I read the Scriptures and God just reveals Himself to me and I'm comforted by His Word, and yet it doesn't take much time before I neglect that same book that brought me so much comfort to my heart and gave me so much strength. And I wonder, God, how prone my heart is to wander from the God I love, and how prone my heart is to lose those impressions of Thy truth and Thy presence in my life. And then I begin to understand Paul's exhortation even more. Oh, Timothy, stir up those gifts. Even the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13, he says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them." and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Even the Apostle Peter writes the same divine exhortation to his hearers. And he says it in such a way that they were established in these present truths. They knew them to be true, and yet the Apostle Peter knew the importance of stirring those truths up in their hearts and their minds. And he says, that as long as I remain alive, I'm going to continue reminding you to stir those things up. I don't know about you, beloved, but there's never an end to God. There's never an end to what God can do and His truths. And sometimes I'm amazed when I look and I study, for example, the sovereignty of God, and I think God is so powerful. He can do anything. He spoke and everything was created. He's omnipotent. He's almighty. He's sovereign. He can do anything He can. Anything He wants. Anything He wishes. He's not like us. We could desire something, but we don't always have the power to see that desire fulfilled. With God, that's opposite. If God desires something, God has also the power to fulfill that. He can do anything He wants to. And yet, even though He dwells in our hearts, He's regenerated us by the Spirit of God. He's given us a new heart, a new mind. Even within these frail and weak vessels, these earthen vessels, we are so prone to lose such wonderful impressions of God's Word if we don't stir these things up. What accountability God gives His children. It's amazing that in Isaiah, when the Lord's talking about His creation Himself, He says, I created all these things. What are you going to build for me? He said, but this is the man I look to, the man that trembleth at My Word. In other words, God says, creation itself, as beautiful as it is, as magnificent as creation is, I don't even see that. I don't even compare that to that individual that trembles at My Word. To this individual, I will look. Sometimes I find myself wishing, God, if You're sovereign, and I know You are, why can't You just make my heart keep those things lively? Why does it have to appear so often like a sack with holes that it loses them so quickly? Beloved, God would sovereignly have it not to be so. He wants us to bear accountability, responsibility. That's what I like about being a Christian. I like being a Christian because you have the sovereignty of God, and you have all His attributes and all His characteristics, and that God can do anything. And yet on the other side, God could, if He wanted to, do all those things in us, but God holds us to accountability. And I like that. It's not as though it's me. Paul said it, the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God that liveth in me. But then he says also, I live, yet not I. I am what I am by the grace of God. I labored more abundant than them, he says, talking about the other apostles. But it wasn't me laboring, it was the grace of God. Paul uses that language all the time. I have not apprehended, but I seek that for which I'm apprehended. I press toward the mark. You hear that all the time about Paul, and Paul is enthusiastic about it. I was talking to a lady at the Holiday Hill this last week, and I said, it's amazing that we don't see more Christians enthusiastic about God. Really wanting to know more about God, learn more about God, and this hunger and thirst, consuming hunger and thirst that God's people should have for God, we rarely see that anymore. And I believe it's because we've neglected the things God's given us. And again, Paul doesn't tell Timothy to seek new doctrines and new instructions and new learnings. He said, Timothy, stir that up which you have received. And that same recipe, divine recipe, Peter gives as well. To stir you up by putting in your remembrance, and that as long as I remain alive, I will continually remind you to stir those things up you know and are established in. Stir those things up. In Beloved, that just proves the great necessity and importance of every true believer, regardless of how established we are in the truth of God, to stir up such graces received that we might ever be active and lively in duty and exercise. That is what makes us active in duty and exercising or adorning these doctrines of God, Paul says in Titus. When we stir these things up, it makes us active and in our duty. It enables us to exercise those truths that we know in our lives. And beloved, that's the joy of Christianity. And this divine truth is clearly illustrated in the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise virgins taking oil in their vessels with their lamps, the 5 foolish virgins taking no oil with them. If you don't know the parable, it's Matthew chapter 25, but 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise. 5 wise took an extra vessel of oil with them. The virgins, I'm not going to get into that tonight, but just to give you an illustration, the virgins in the Old Testament of the wedding, they were there that when the bridegroom comes out to meet the bride, the virgins would light their lanterns, and there would be 10 of them if you check the Old Testament. They would light their lanterns when the bridegroom cometh to show up His way, His appearing, His coming in. They would light those lanterns up. And so the wise ones took extra oil in an extra vessel. And the other foolish virgins just took what they had. The hypocrite, like the 5 foolish virgins, are only interested in a present showing of things. They make no provision for what is to become or what is to come because they are void of spiritual life. They're not concerned about what is to come. They're just concerned about the present. How is my impression now? On the other hand, the 5 wise virgins, having grace in their heart, they bring oil in their vessels. That vessel is a picture of the heart. They bring oil in their hearts with their lamps. And when the bridegroom tarries, and they all sleep, but when the bridegroom comes, the 5 wise virgins have enough oil to trim their lamps. When the Son of God cometh, shall He find faith on earth? We need to learn to trim our lamps and carry that extra vessel of oil with us, stirring those things up God's given us. Why should God give us more if we don't cherish the things He's given us? Why should God enlighten us more in His divine truths when we don't love and adore and worship and live and stir up those things He's already given us? And He's given us so much. How many sermons have you heard since you've been saved? That's an awesome thought. How many times have you read the Bible? How many times have you prayed? And yet how unspiritual we are. That's a humbling thought, isn't it? How much of all of that has been retained in our heart? If we could live our prayer lives, or if we could live everything we've heard, we'd be almost gods, wouldn't we? If you think about it. And yet how much of all of that has left an impression, a lasting impression on our hearts and our lives? Think about it. That's a humbling thought. That's a very humbling thought. I thought about it. I was humbled by it. Thankful that there was some remnant of it left, but losing so much of it. And in many ways, finding myself in a bliss of conviction and confession of prayers and weeping over my weaknesses and sadness, but touched that God would stir up my heart to be reminded of that. We have such a compassionate God and such a faithful God. So let us take these exhortations seriously and this accountability with humility yet great diligence. God has not given us a spirit of fear, Timothy, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Here's a threefold cord which cannot be broken. Power, resolution, love, and a sound mind. Now that doesn't mean God didn't make us crazy, but gave us something to think straight. We're all in many ways crazy. But sound mind means discipline, self-control, sober-minded. A man of prudence. That's a good judgment, discernment, and discretion. God has given us a mind to think. I love this third part. Because that kind of takes the hyper-Calvinists and kind of throws them out of the boat. God's given us a mind to think. And His truths influence that mind and direct that mind and teach that mind and instruct that mind. And as God does that, God says, now use that mind in the things of God. Isn't it amazing what we used to think about the world and life and God and eternity before we were saved? And how we think about those things now. It's a complete different world, isn't it? God imparts His truths to our hearts, yes. But He also does it in our mind. Do you know the heart cannot be influenced before the mind is made to know something? That's how faith works. God works to the heart through the mind. And so He says He's given us power, resolution, courage, fortitude. He's given us love. Love God and love your neighbors yourself. He's also given us a sound mind. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 to 11 says it this way. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. You see where it has to start? Watch this. Discretion shall preserve you. Understanding shall keep you. You see that? When wisdom enters into the heart, when knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion or a sound mind shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. God has given us a sound mind, beloved. Remember when the man possessed with many devils, legion of devils, when the Lord went over to that little island and He just kind of healed him. I'm not going to go into all the details, but we mostly know the story. You know, when He healed him and the crowd came up and they found him, what they say about him? He was before naked and tearing himself up, tear his chains off and everything. When they came up and the city found him, they said he was dressed and in his sound mind. I'm telling you, we were idiots till God saved us. And when God saved us, He gave us sound minds. I'm not calling everybody that's lost an idiot, but in God's comparisons, they surely are. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Do you know, in all due respects, if you learn this book, if you learn it, and God, the Holy Spirit, instructs your heart and your mind, do you know that you'll have more wisdom than the greatest lost professor in Harvard? Because you know something about the Creator. And He denies Him. Compared to you, in God's eyes, He's an idiot. God's given us a sound mind. Oh, God, thank You for giving me a sound mind. I can think now. I can begin to see and realize and know how God intends for me to see things. My mind can grasp those things that can't be seen. My mind knows a God that I've never embraced. My mind knows things that the world and all its wisdom will never come to know without God. I've got a wonderful God. He's given us a sound mind. You know, some might not understand the great value of such godly virtue, yet it's essential for the true believer, especially those in the ministry. And that's who He's talking to maintain a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. Each of these graces were essential for Timothy to stir up in his heart and in his mind. While each played a vital role in his ministry, as well as in his facing afflictions confronting him. And it does for us as well. He's talking about, again, Timothy facing many afflictions. The church is falling apart. Believers are going to turn away from the faith. Men have turned away from me. Timothy, don't lose that resolution. Don't forget God's given you a spirit to fortify your heart and mind. Endure. He's given you a spirit of love, so don't get bitter, callous, and hard and indifferent. And He's given you a sound mind. Don't act irrationally, hastily. Think, Timothy. Use the doctrines that I've taught you. Use the truth and think, Timothy. Sound mind would keep him from acting irrationally. or hastily under persecutions and afflictions. And isn't that what God teaches us and has taught us in afflictions? When we start getting frantic, it's almost as though God says, settle down. Settle down. Think for a minute. Apply what you know about God and Scripture. Stand still and see the salvation of God. In quietness and stillness is your strength. Be still and know that I'm God. That's the sound mind. When the storm rages, we can stop. We can think. We can meditate upon God's Word, what He's taught us. We can run it over in our minds. That's the sound mind He's talking about. And oh, beloved, them truths God has enlightened us with, they begin to help us to see the path that we must walk in the midst of our storms. And our storms might be raging, but they won't upset our souls and our hearts. Why? Because our heart and our mind is fixed on God. He's given us a sound mind. Proverbs 3, and I'll hurry. Proverbs 3, 21 to 23 says, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. You know what happens if we don't keep a sound mind? When we find ourselves facing afflictions or tribulations or persecutions or trials in life, we begin leaning unto our own wisdom and knowledge. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge Him and all. What's that mean? Mind. Acknowledge Him. Trust in Him. Think about Him. Apply the truths of God. So often when I'm dealing with Christians who are in a havoc or in a terrible position in life and afflictions and persecutions, it's almost as though they're wringing their hands and pulling their hairs out. God has given you a sound mind. Stop. And think about those. Sometimes Christians think, well, in this area of my life, God has little influence or little role to play. This is more something that I need to take care of. No, you need to realize God takes care of everything in your life. And if you don't stop and think and use a sound mind, you'll find yourself in trouble. Timothy, if you don't stir up that spirit of a sound mind in you, Timothy, you're going to be irrational. You're going to do something in haste. Not with discretion, not with prudence, not sober-minded. Think. Think. God's given you that mind. I can't see because there's so much trials. I'm clouded by confusions and decisions. Stop and think. God, what would you have me to do? Let me apply the Scripture. Let me apply what I've known about God. Let me settle my soul down, because the answer might be completely opposite to what your carnal understanding would choose. Paul says we have no confidence in the flesh. And beloved, when we're facing the spiritual battles, we can't have confidence in our flesh. We've got to stir up that sound mind, that discretion, that prudence that God's given us. And that all comes through God's Word. And we need to settle down and think about, what would God have me to do? Where is the promise that can anchor my soul in the midst of this storm? Where is the truth that I need to get me through this trial? If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There it is again, sound mind. That's in James 1. That's not general wisdom, but that's wisdom concerning the fiery trials. Count it all joy. Again, your mind. Count, discern, judge. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You see how often the Scripture uses a sound mind? We don't use our mind. What were they saying at one time? I don't forget the number, but somebody says, we only use how many percent of our mind? Some of you college experts, huh? 10% is what they said. God says, no, I've given you a sound mind. You use 100% of your... They might only use 10%, and I doubt that. Christians should be using 100% of their mind, because it's been renewed. It's been renewed. I love being a graduate... Not a graduate, high school dropout, not proud of it. Barely making it into the Army. Ignorant as a bump on a log, and ain't changed much since then, but God's sure given me a sound mind to know things I'd have never been taught in school. So let them call me an idiot. God has given me a sound mind, and I praise Him for it, and I thank Him for it, and I love Him for it. I adore Him for it, because my mind now can think on things that are eternal. And oh, beloved,
That's a wonderful life. A sound mind, beloved, enables the believer to walk circumspectly and without fear of any enemy. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so shall there be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble, because we've been given a sound mind. It enables us to be resolute with sound wisdom. And the first one, power, God's given us power. It enables us to be resolute with sound wisdom. It enables us to love in the truth because it's a sound mind. And to be steadfast and consistent in our duty and service before God. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of a sound mind. And this threefold cord is not quickly broken. So, beloved, stir them up. Resolute, love, sound mind. In doing so, we shall not be ashamed of Jesus Christ, nor of the gospel. I tell you, beloved, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian, and it's even more wonderful when it appears to be a new life. Every day, it's a new life, a new experience, a new joy. Something new is waiting. If we would just take the time and get our hearts and our minds out of this wicked world and all it has to offer, and get them back on the things that concern the kingdom of God and His righteousness, I'm telling you, beloved, ain't nothing in this world will be able to hinder you from enjoying God. God is going to give you everything that you have need of. He's going to guide and direct in your life. He's going to give you everything that you have need of. But stir up those things God's given you. And by stirring them up, beloved, I'm telling you, something wonderful will happen. You'll get enthusiastic about Christ again. You get enthusiastic about this book. Life will mean a whole lot more. We sit on our porch this afternoon. Beautiful day. Isn't it beautiful days? Wish it would be like this all year round. Wouldn't it be nice? But I mean, they have them light, thin clouds just kind of all over the sky, and the wind blowing in the trees and little hummingbirds. And I know you probably think I'm a nut, but I was telling my wife, I said, you know, so many people are so busy in life they can't stop to notice God's fine print. And He's given me a mind to enjoy it, to see it, to acknowledge it. Praise God for a sound mind. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You so much. And we are again so indebted to Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, we did not deserve any of these things that You've given us. Oh Lord, the salvation that You brought us is full of infinite wisdom. And Lord, we know though it saves us from sin and its penalty and its curse, yet Father, it has done infinitely more than we'll ever be able to fathom in this life or in the next. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray, forgive us for neglecting these things. Help us, we pray, to stir up these things, that Lord, they might be active and lively in our hearts and our minds, that we might give You the praise, the honor, the glory that You deserve, and also the worship and duty. Father, I pray that You'd use us. Bless us this week. May these truths not so quickly depart from our hearts, but Lord, may we seal them with prayer and meditation tonight, discussions amongst ourselves about what we've heard, that Father, they might be driven more deep into our hearts and our affections. Thank You for a sound mind. Thank You so much for all You've given us. In Christ's name we pray.